This podcast covers all things health, your body, your brain, and your well-being. Each week, we'll be joined by doctors, as well as the occasional guest, to talk about the health topics that mean the most to you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Today, we're going to talk about the history. We've talked about functional medicine in general. Okay? So this week, we're doing history. I'm walking you through this week by week. Eventually, we're going to get to treatment. It's probably going to be like a month or two out before we get to that. And I'm just going to walk you through functional medicine as it should be classically. And this should answer a lot of your questions. Maybe some of you will pick things up along the way that you will use that that'll help you. And I'm totally good with that. I think half the country has chronic pain right now, so I don't think there's enough doctors to fix everybody. So history is so important. Now, I come from a time before there was MRIs, before there was CAT scans. I come from a time before there was nerve conduction velocity tests, and I come from a time before what I call the dark ages of diagnosis, when we suddenly got chronic pain started to become a problem. Chronic fatigue, immunodeficiency disease, Lyme disease, these types of things, mold. And suddenly I come from that time where there was no testing. So now there was an explosion of alternative testing, a lot of which maybe isn't totally accurate. But yet doctors were basing their, and still are, basing their entire protocols on these. So one of the things that we had to do back then, before all of this was occurring, before MRIs and CAT scans and all these alternative tests came about, was we had to do a history, and we had to do an exam. I know when I was in clinic, if I came out of the exam room in less than an hour, my clinic director would tell me to go back in. I must have missed something. That was fairly standard back then. It's not just so much an hour. You need to, for chronic pain conditions, you need to take a good history. And I'm going to go through a history, I think you're going to see why. Maybe if you're calling someone up on the phone and they're sending you a 3-page standard history form, and then it goes back and they do kind of a couple standard tests, and then they give you the paleo diet and throw a bunch of supplements at you, maybe that's not functional medicine, or at least not for chronic conditions, okay? And so we're going to walk through a history and what it should look like, but still a little bit more background on history. Fast forward from when I was younger, and doing an hour history and an hour exam was like standard procedure. I remember my first exposure to functional medicine was listening to a lecture by Jeff Bland. Jeff Bland is coined the word functional medicine. I think he taught at Bastyr University for years, and more than that, he still may be involved with creating formulas for supplements. But he was really a big genesis of functional medicine, and he understood that you had to take a history for a chronic condition that started literally from birth. And now we're finding out maybe even before, you know, and I'm not just talking genetics, but like the state of the mom. And so they, and I think they still have, there's a couple of different lines of functional medicine. I think they still have a group that Dr. Bland runs and they teach functional medicine to doctors. And I think they still have their template. And it was a sheet of paper and it was a timeline from the time that the person was born. And you would take their history from the time they were born. Did you have a C-section? Is that matter? Yes, it matters. Because if you were C-sectioned as a child, you didn't get the meconium from your mother's vagina going as you were going through, and that alters immune function. And we now know it. Was your mother stressed when you were born during the period of time that she carried you? Oh my God, she was going through. Well, we now know stress hormones can cross the placenta, and that person who has anxiety and panic attacks literally since they were born, the mother says they've been that way since they were born, it may actually go back that far. To the fact that there were stress enzymes coming from all the way back that far. And Dr. Bland was the first one I saw that put this together. And then you would look every step along the way, you would take the particularly pertinent information from every step along the way, and you would put it on this template, this chart, and then you would use that to compare to the person's present day symptoms and problems, and you would start to use that to make a diagnosis. I got news.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
I mean, this is the way we used to have to do when I was kids. When we were young doctors, you had to figure it out from an exam and a history. And you had to come up with three differential diagnoses that were probably going to be what was wrong with the person. And there was no backup. Well, I mean, we barely had x-rays at that point in time, but we didn't have MRIs, CAT scans, and all the other things I said. And I think we were better diagnosticians. In fact, I'm absolutely certain we were better diagnosticians than today's just divert to the test. Whether it's an alternative test or whether it's a blood test or whether it's an MRI or a CAT scan that's telling you you're normal, there's this, you walk in, it's 8 minutes, you know, it's 10 minutes, you can't get a good history, you divert to the test, you treat what the test says. That's not the way you do functional medicine. It wasn't the way we used to do standard medicine. So let me kind of use my case. Okay, most of you have watched. I was found out last week how many people watch these things. I was like in shock. So thank you for watching. And I try to bring real content to you. And here's real content. I'll give you my case. Okay. Most of you have watched this know I have a lot of these issues. So I'm just going to share this with you. I'm just going to give you the Cliff Notes version. Okay. So basically, you know, I was born to a very stressful mom. That may have or may not have had any issues. I do remember being stressed from the time I was a young man. I had my first gut surgery when I was 5 weeks old. And so I had a pyloric stenosis and I had a gut surgery to open that up. So in other words, food wasn't going through me. Is that important? You had your gut opened up, now the food's going through you. Well, here's the problem with that. We now know that once you cut somebody's intestines, you probably have a permanent leaky gut. If you're taking a history for a chronic pain patient, knowing if they have a leaky gut and ultimately food sensitivities is very important to know. And knowing that maybe they've had it their whole life is important to know. Fast forward, I'm a very, very nervous young man. I'm continually having to go to the restroom in third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm vomiting stuff up. So I was under a lot of stress. If any of my relatives see this, they'll go, yep, he was under a lot of stress. And it was very stressful. When I see someone here who is a young man, let's say they're 15, 16, 20, the mother, well, 15, let's say 15, and the mother's brought the child in, and I asked, how are you when you were a kid? then they say, oh, I've had gut problems when I was a kid, but they checked everything and everything was normal. I know that if there's no pathology there, that young man was, or young lady was under a lot of stress, and that was maybe causing the gut problems that they're sitting there in front of me, because brain causes gut problems. So for me, when I look back, yes, I was stressed. I also had bad bowels at that point in time. My mom was Italian. I lived in a little Italian neighborhood in Trenton, New Jersey, a wonderful place to grow up, just outside of a place called The Berg in Trenton, New Jersey. For those of you from back there, you'll know what I'm talking about. And an Italian neighborhood. So what am I eating? I'm eating pasta. I'm eating bread. I'm eating pizza every Friday night. I had bad bowels my whole life. And in retrospect, when I do my history, it's entirely possible, and I have celiac. I know that now. It's entirely possible I had celiac from that time. That's important for my doctor to know, because it tells me how long the person has had that problem. And it kind of gives me a better idea of how long it's going to take them to get better, or gives me incentive, it gives me insight on other things relative to their history. Fast forward a little bit more. I actually had ulcers, you know, in my teen years. Ulcers, you know, they're kind of like you're stressed. Emotional trauma, we may touch on that a little bit in the history, but emotional trauma is significant in chronic pain. And I'm seeing it now. I'm seeing it everywhere. Now, when we first started talking about emotional traumas, we kind of got a lot of being part of chronic conditions and chronic pain and fibromyalgia and a lot of the gut problems and things like that. Man, we got a lot of flack. But the data's there, and now I'm starting to see psychologists and psychiatrists doing brain rehab exercises, functional neurologists and functional psychiatrists using 5-HTP and SAMe and things like that for their post-traumatic stress syndrome, emotionally traumatic patients. So I seem to divert when I say that, but I'm not. This is what you start to initially grab from the history when I say you can make an exam. 21 years old, fast forward 21 years old, I get mononucleosis. Okay, probably from kissing too many girls, right? The kissing disease. So I get really sick. I mean, really sick. I mean, I lose like 35 pounds. I'm not a big guy to begin with, right? I lose like 35 pounds. I go from like 150 to 123. I'm laying in bed. I've developed strep throat. I can't eat. Sweats. Just the whole thing. It was awful. And it lasted for months. And finally, I got through it. And then the fatigue from it lasted for over a year. In fact, I was playing sports at that time in college. I missed the whole season because I couldn't even get on a treadmill for like 10 minutes. We now know that if you have mononucleosis and which is caused by Epstein-Barr virus, and if you have the symptoms, the acute symptoms, for more than 4 to 6 weeks, like 3 months, and fatigue for 12 to 14 months, that you probably developed Hashimoto's, an immune attack against your thyroid. And why is that important to my case? Years and years and years and years and years later, I developed more Hashimoto. I developed a more severe type of Hashimoto's, and it goes all the way back to that point when I was 21, and I'm going to hit that in a minute. So fast forward from there. All of a sudden, I get better. But I'm a little fatigued and I start fighting my weight. I'm figuring, well, I'm 22 now, so this must be old age. I have to fight my weight. So I get through that, you know, and we go on with that for the next years. And then poor diet and stress and all that type of stuff. And then I get to almost 50 and I go through a stressful event in life. I end up getting pneumonia. And the next thing you know, that triggered what ultimately was full-blown Hashimoto's, full-blown celiac, chronic fatigue. I started to get eczema and seborrheic dermatitis at that point in time. Anyways, fibromyalgia, sensitivity. I used to tell my wife, every fiber of my being hurts when I try to get out of bed. and then some small fiber neuropathy. I've also had along the way, for my history, okay, I've also had a lot of concussions, all right? And so from sports and a couple of car accidents and stuff like that. So now let's say I'm 51 years old, 50 or 59 or 49, somewhere around there. And let's say I show up in the doctor's office and they go like, what's going on? And I, this is what happened, same thing. You know, I said, well, you know, I'm sick. I'm tired. I can't get out of bed. I hurt everywhere. I've got all this stuff happening. I'm starting to put on weight. I know. And the doctor tells me after, you know, 5 minutes of giving me one little sheet that says, you're depressed. Here, take this thing, take this depression thing. That's kind of how it still is in a lot of ways. And in a lot of functional medicine practices, it's expanded. But the reality is that whole past history, I could literally look at that history today in a patient coming in here and almost tell them what's wrong with them, okay? Because my Epstein-Barr virus, that probably was what exploded to cause my particular Hashimoto's, and there's other things that cause it, okay? Probably started back when I was 21. It's probably the reason that I couldn't lose the weight. It's probably the reason that it went up and down, that I had to struggle with it, that I was always more tired than I thought I should be. The ulcers, you go back, you look at the history there. I had ulcers. Clearly, I've had stress my whole life. There was emotional trauma there that you can look at our videos on PTSD and chronic pain if you want to look those up. And now you can look back and see how that was there. You can go all the way back to my birth. And today, if somebody came into me, and I do get these people, and they have anxiety and they have panic attacks, and I've been nervous my whole life, and I throw up before sports events, and no matter what I do, I says I can't get it under control. Maybe it actually came from their mom. Maybe there's actually stress hormones that cross the placenta. That actually helps you to be able to address that person's case. So you take my case, you get up to that point in time, finally, miraculously, I run into, and in my research and stuff, I run into some people who are just starting functional medicine. And that's why when you hear me talk, I say, I think it's fair for me to say I was one of the original functional medicine group of doctors, and I was. And this is the way that they taught it. They taught that you need to do the history and you need to do the exam. I was just at a recent functional medicine practitioner, a regional functional medicine seminar. And the great thing about this seminar was the teacher was also in practice. And he indicated to the whole group that was sitting there, and it was maybe 50 people sitting there, that he does an exam that's 3 hours long. A history and an exam. That's history and exam is 3 hours long. There was a collective groan from the group, which leads me to believe that a lot of functional medicine practitioners maybe aren't delving into the cases the way that they should be, because it can. I just saw an ad yesterday in one of the papers. Here's my template for functional medicine. You can just do this, and in 20 minutes, you can know what's wrong with the person, and you can get this computer program. And the computer program, you just put the blood panels in there, and the blood panels are going to tell me what supplements to give them. You put them on this diet, and you can treat everything. I can tell you from personal experience, you are looking for trouble treating people that way. And are there some people that are going to get better doing that? Yes. But when you have people coming into your practice and you're a functional medicine practitioner, eventually you start getting some very difficult cases, because patients are now not just starting to go, people now are not just going to medical doctors before they come to us, but they're going to other alternative practitioners before they come to us. And the things that I'm talking to you about over this year are the things that are missing when that person comes to us and they've been to another functional medicine doctor, okay, who maybe didn't even take a history, maybe just said, oh, you have this, so let me give you these supplements. I practice functional medicine. So for me, the history was extremely important for the doctors that helped me to help understand myself and to figure out what was wrong with me and to be able to start dealing with it and get to the point where now I'm 66, I'm here, I'm doing this. And I'm working pretty hard. And believe me, when this thing hit me back then, I couldn't work at all. I mean, I was flat down, I was in bed, For the first year, I couldn't get on a treadmill. History had a lot to do with helping them to say, you have gluten sensitivity. We found out later I had celiac. You have a permanent leaky gut. You're probably gonna have food sensitivities. We found out I had a leaky gut. So these are the important things. The elements that should be in a good history. I'm gonna walk through now we had like a 55 page history when we started. This was years ago. And the reason for that was, I go back to what I call the dark ages of alternative medicine. There was this period of time where suddenly we have all these chronic pains developing, chronic pain patients developing. This is my 40th year in practice. And so back then, we were treating a different patient population than we're treating now. People are sicker now than they were then. In chiropractic, I'm a chiropractor, and in chiropractic, people don't respond as well to chiropractic today or physical therapy today as they used to, because of all the things that we're talking about, because of autoimmunity, because of chronic emotional trauma, because of leaky guts, because of food sensitivities, environmental factors, which are a little bit overplayed, but still environmental factors can definitely be a player. And so we had to try to figure out how to get people well, and a lot of doctors started using a lot of these alternative tests, and the alternative tests were kind of iffy, but they were the only thing people had. And it started going from, we stopped taking histories again, and we started doing almost no exam, and then we went to the alternative tests. So what we're going to do now is we're going to walk through a history and help you to understand what the pertinence of a history should be, what you should be getting asked if you're going into your alternative doctor. If you're not getting satisfaction, maybe some of these are the things that are missed, and here's why. Okay. What I was going to say is we went from 56 pages, now it's down to 18, because over a period of time we sifted out what was pertinent. Is it all parasites? There's the all parasite group, and then, or is it or is it all molds? And there's the all mold group. Or is it all heavy metals? And there's all the heavy metals group. And Lyme is another whole thing. You can look up at our thing there. You can look at our presentation on Lyme. And so we had to sift through all that, and we sifted through it. And it's about 18 pages. There's a food diary here. I think most everybody's on board now with food can be a big problem in flaring up joint issues and immune responses and allergy responses. So we actually have people fill out a food diary before they come in to give it to us, so that we can see what they're eating. And it can tell, okay, if we tell this guy he's got to get off of gluten, this could be a big challenge. And it tells us if it's not, it tells us this person's already off gluten. This person's already off all grains. This person's already eating better than 99% of the population. And here they are sitting in front of you with a bad gut, food sensitivities, reactions, fibromyalgia, brain fog, vertigo, balance, and what's going on. So
if you're enjoying this, then please don't miss next week. Next week is kind of a big, big deal in most people's journey to wellness. So, okay, that's it for this week. Thank you for watching again, and take care.
This will conclude the episode. Thanks for tuning in. If you like what you hear, please leave a comment and subscribe. Thank you.